Wow. Hi, welcome to Maybe We'll Talk. I have 3 seconds when I hit record, and as I hit record, an enormous coughing fit came upon me, and I feel like, and I was like, uh-oh, better speed run this cough, better blast that all right out so that you can be ready to talk. I think I did it. I mean, it would have been better if I had started by saying, hello, welcome to Maybe We'll Talk, instead of saying, wow, in reaction to my own. So, hi, this is a podcast where I talk to people on the telephone, and there is a lot of alarms going off. Not alarms, sirens. Emergency vehicles are whipping down the road as I speak. We're going to talk about Twin Peaks. We're going to be talking about Twin Peaks, The Return, and David Lynch for the next several weeks. You know what? On Fridays. Maybe Monday and Friday is when these podcasts are coming out. That's starting to feel... We're still in a point of... I'm kind of settled. You know, there was a lot of things happening, and there's a little bit of an equilibrium we're reaching with my weekly schedule, although it feels pretty... I'm starting to get locked in. I think my podcasts are going to come out on Fridays and Mondays. I think that's what it's going to be. Yeah. And I don't need to say too much more about this. Like I said, next couple of weeks might be a little bit shorter episodes of this show. Well, we just talk about David Lynch a little bit for an hour or so. And yeah, let's just do it. Let's go. I don't have anything else to say about this, so let's talk to Lock and Leaves.
There's a thing that I used to do when I had, I forbid it. 3 times I say this. I had this thing, when I was living in New York and I had chickens, you know, way down at the bottom of the yard, I would go, you know, close up the coop, or I would go check on them and make sure everything was locked up. I would walk back up to the house. And my concern almost always was that within the lighted house, I would see myself walking around.
Shit.
And that I would not be sure which one of us was supposed to be in there. And this was a point of mild concern for me. Many times that I walked back up from the chicken coop. So if I say no, fetches can't. They're not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to look like me specifically. They could look like you if you want. That's fine. The problem is that if I see one that looks like me, it's the likelihood is not that it's a fetch, but that it's the original, and that would be problematic for me, because I've gotten used to this life. So there's a what would you rather that I came up with in around 2007, 2008 time period. And the what would you rather goes, the situation is every year on some random day of the year, it is like per calendar year. It might happen December 31st and January 1st, or it might happen in August. Like, there's no way to know. It's just every calendar year, every 365, somewhere in there. An exact copy of you comes into existence within 15 miles of where you are. And he knows that he has perhaps, you know, 72 hours to kill you and take over your life, or he will dissolve into a screaming puddle of goo. The rules are that once he encounters you, he will look at you, he will say, I'm so sorry, and then he will try to kill you. Which would you rather? This happens to you, as I have just described, every year. You know, you kill the version of you, you got to do something with the body. It doesn't turn into screaming goo if you kill him. Right? Or, just once, you're the clone. And if you kill the original, it stops. It's what's one to noodle. Yeah, I know my answer, but I don't want to like poison the pot. Yeah.
So if he finds me, does he then take on my identity?
If he can kill you, then yeah, I mean he'll pick up your driver's license. He knows your password. He knows everything that you know. So if you've been making plans all year, and then he pops into existence, yeah, he knows all the stuff.
All right, I'd let him get me.
That is awesome. That is an awesome answer. Well, I mean, you'd be like, yeah, I choose to be the original, and then I let him get me. Yeah, that is a very noble answer. I like that a lot.
Let someone else take the reins.
Right? I know. I feel like that when I go to sleep sometimes. I'm like, oh, I made it through this one. Next tomorrow is the version 1.3.2's, you know, problem.
Honestly, it's like a blessing for someone who is suicidal. Because you get to go away and your loved ones won't know the difference.
I mean, I was in a pretty dark place when I came up with this one. You're onto something there. Yeah. Anyway. The original version that I started writing a short story, and it was just like two versions of a person standing over a grave. Being like, whose fucking turn is it? No, you go in. I you know, et cetera. No, I want to go in. But it makes a better, like, it's essentially like a question about Star Trek transporters, too. Like, look at it another way. Right? So it's the same thing, but writ in a different way that's a little less tech and a little more spook. A comment about Twin Peaks The Return that was just bumping around in my head while we were talking about that is that it's really interesting to me that you can write nonsense and you can write kind of spooky nonsense, but it doesn't feel like a dream. And Twin Peaks specifically feels like a dream.
Mm-hmm.
It is not just nonsense. Like, it's aggressively nonsense, but it's not just zany.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That vibe is really hard to do.
You know, there's stuff like, there are television shows like Aqua Teen Hunger Force that are nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
there's even like you can find a million YouTube shorts
that are nonsense,
a series of sort of eerie disconnected events
that are dreams,
well, that are probably aiming for this vibe and missing
yeah
it.
Okay, yeah,
there's a couple of them I forget, like there's one called The Chair that really nails it.
Oh, there's where the chair is haunted.
Yeah, the guy brings the chair home.
A man comes with the chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really, yeah.
But like most of the
time, there's more than that going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But like I was saying, like when you watch this and then you like it, if you really sort of get subsumed into the vibe and the tone and the visuals of the show.
Yeah.
It's, ugh. It's weird. It's weird. And I like that. I admire that a lot.
A real kind of nightmare, yeah, kind of vibe.
Yeah. Like, I mean, even like take the Coop stuff in the beginning with the
Floyd man.
And the room.
Okay,
and the
woman
who got into a fist fight with the Zamisi.
Yes, there's a woman with stitches. With yeah, she's got stitches on her face. They're not like where her eyes should be or anything like that.
Yeah,
she just has a melted face with a bunch of stitches. And well, you know, before that, Coop washes up on the shore of a vast black
ocean,
a vast, deep, infinite, horizonless, edgeless ocean.
It's like you're telling a horror story right now that's written specifically for me with this language.
Yeah, well, it's also raining a lot right now tonight again here. I'm having another dark, stormy night.
7 year
thinking flood about again. Yeah, we've been having a 7 year flood once every 3 or 4 weeks this past year. It's been I've been thinking about that wide, vast sea of consciousness, or what lies below consciousness.
Yeah. The great ocean.
Yeah, so that's fun to look at and think about right before we get into bizarre nightmare stutter film trip through sort of industrial. I feel like there's some even more industrial areas we're going to see that are even more eraser heady.
Yeah, with the steam.
Yeah, steam things and percolators everywhere. But yeah, we're starting to, yeah, he's in that kind of area of the underworld or whatever the fuck. Whatever the fuck. Like I said last time, did I say last time that, like, you know, even David Lynch said that every time he watches it every couple of years, he makes something a different kind of sense out of it. And so wherever they are, on whatever layer of existence or consciousness. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think it's a, like, you know, an infinite onion.
Yeah.
Like Brain Theory, not B-R-A-I-N, B-R-A-N-E theory.
B-R-A-N-E.
Yeah, brain is short for membrane, I think. And it's a theory of reality that there's basically, like, vast number of stacked dimensions that are, like, kind of, they're very close to one another, but they're not touching one another.
Sounds plausible.
Yeah, and he's in, you know, I think the Black Lodge is one of those.
Like, infinite realities, infinite possibilities.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, very, sort of very multiverse, but also not like Spider-Verse. There's a Alistair Reynolds book that deals with a little bit that the problems of beings from other parallel brains wanting to get into ours. Giant metal coffin thing that talks to people.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, giant metal coffin thing talking to people on the other side of the very thin veil.
Yeah. The very thin veil. That's the that's it right there in a nutshell.
Yeah. And when you pass through that veil, I feel like he is, like, gone. Maybe this is what it takes to come back, but I feel like he is, like, gone, like, too deep or something. Like, he's down years. Near, he's down, or somehow his escape from the Black Lodge has landed him. He has to pass by that vast, that level of that vast ocean. I really feel like that's the bottom of consciousness, or the bottom of everything that is going on here. It's the most bottom level of the tower that he's traveling through. And then he goes out the top of the building, and it's just a room floating in empty space where that dude's head is floating.
I mean, there is like a sort of interesting, like, from like a bunch of different spiritual practices, like chakras and Kabbalah and like these types of things, where there's like in Kabbalah there's Keter, which is like the crown. And it's like associated with, you know, void and space. And
Something is in Keter, and Keter is in something.
God's in his heaven, and all's right with the world.
It's basically that, but it is like, is it Malkuth?
Used the Sephirot in that.
Keter is in Malkuth, and Malkuth is in Keter. That's like, the earth is in heaven, and heaven is in the earth.
As above, so below.
Yeah. Malkuth is also that fucking ragged asshole dog that sliced me up with his red anime sword all those times. And Elden Ring.
Oh, yes. That fucker. Okay. So, for some reason, I was conflating it. Like, when you said that there was a dog that sliced you up, I was just remembering my golden retriever in high school.
Oh.
Who had jumped on you post-scavenger hunt and had some talons, and he was viscous.
Oh, yeah. I remember something about a viscous dog.
And I was like, so my brain got stuck on that one. But yeah, the red anime sword asshole. Yeah. 100%. That DLC cannot drop fast enough for me. I need to go back in and get my muscle memory back on track.
Yeah, I wonder if I'll like it.
If it's a Soulsborne, they got me.
I've been poking around. I've been trying out Dark Souls and Demon Souls and stuff, kind of seeing if I still like it. And I don't know.
I tried to go back and play Dark Souls Remastered.
Love it.
I love it, but I'm so... So my intro to the whole Soulsborne thing was Bloodborne. And the pacing of that type of combat is now really what I want.
Yeah.
And then I played them out of order because it was Bloodborne 3, 1, Elden Ring. And I want more of what they're doing now.
Yeah, Elden Ring was almost the last video game I ever played. I feel like I burned myself out so hard on that game, I almost stopped wanting to play video games altogether. It really, up until like a few months ago, I have felt like, why am I even playing this game? It's not Elden Ring.
It is an incredible achievement. Although I will tell you that there are other games out there. There's other fish in the sea.
Yeah, I'm starting to figure that out. I'm playing a few. Yeah. I'm playing a few different. I'm playing.
I've been playing the shit out of Helldivers.
Oh yeah, what's that like?
Fucking love it. It is. It depends on like if it's your style of thing, but the sense of humor that it has is just so like I love the incredibly over the top sarcastic send up on fascism.
Okay.
It's Starship Troopers. It's Starship Troopers, okay. the video game, basically.
Is it bugs?
There's bugs and there's Terminators.
You guys are Terminators. Is it multiplayer?
You can fight. It's multiplayer, yeah. You could play it single player, but really it's like a four-man squad type thing.
Hey, I just wanted to pop in and say that during this whole thing, I thought that by Terminators we were talking about the guys from Warhammer 40K. Terminator in Warhammer is basically just a big space marine. So I thought I thought he was saying space marines versus bugs, which sounds... Anyway, that's why this conversation might sound stupid. Kind of...
I play with a lot of randos. No mic.
Is it like a Team Fortress squad?
Kind of? I haven't played TF.
It's you against bugs, right? It's not you against other players.
Oh, correct. The bugs are not dudes?
No. Bugs, everything's AI. Okay. It's PvE.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of something analogous. A little bit like a mission-based Left 4 Dead style. You go into a map. It's an open world map.
Yeah, there's objectives.
With objectives. And then once you finish enough objectives, a dropship comes down somewhere on the map and you want to extract and get out of there.
Are there like mecha or is it like Terminator? No, the Terminators get into mecha?
No, typically not. I mean, they're basically it's Tyranids and Necrons. Like reskinned. Oh,
well, I don't know what Necrons are. We just talked about
them. Okay. Necrons are like... Bless you. Because they're tight. The robots, there's like your default little ads that are like Terminators, weak Terminators, but then they get bigger and bigger. There's like Hulks, Dreadnoughts, there's different kinds of robots.
The players are robots.
The players are dudes.
So do you mean when you said, oh, wow. Yeah, this is what I was talking about when I cut in before. Yeah, I don't know where you lost me.
There are three factions at present.
Oh, okay.
The player faction is the humans from Starship Troopers.
Okay, okay.
They are the Helldivers.
The Helldivers.
Okay.
And then there, you could choose to fight either the robots or you could fight the bugs.
Okay, I would like to fight the robots. Fuck the robots.
Yeah.
And robots. You're trying to, like, reclaim a corner of the galaxy or something?
Yeah, so there's the galaxy, well, there's like a, and it's also cool because it's a, like, live, the devs are running the game like it's an active story that's happening. So the map of the galaxy is laid out with all these sectors and planets in them. And you can see where everybody's playing on that map, like what planets the most human beings are fighting on. And based on what the player base of the game does, some of those planets flip over to being conquered by human beings, or you might lose a planet. And the devs are like sending enemy reinforcements to different places and giving the player base new, broadly speaking, strategic missions. Like, hey, we need to take this sector. Everybody go play over there. So it's cool. They're doing some storytelling stuff in there, which is fun.
I love that. Yeah,
it's incredibly fun and stupid. Like, the number of times I've been killed by my own team, not on purpose, sure. And just like the voice acting and the "Would you like to know more?" Like,
yeah. Love that.
Do you throw a grenade and be like, "Have a cup of liberty"?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's that kind of shit.
Tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
Do you know pirate software?
Do I know?
It's a developer whose studio is called Pirate Software. He's on YouTube and Twitch like daily for 12 hours. He's kind of insane, but he's also actually wholesome and knowledgeable and cool.
That sounds great.
But anyway, he has like 600 hours in Helldivers. And it's been out, what, like 4 months?
Yeah, I believe it easily. Like, I played 15 when I was playing it for 15 minutes before I came on this stream here. Because there's 40-minute missions, 30-mission minutes, 15-minute missions. And so I was like, I'm going to do one before I go and watch Twin Peaks. But that's a lot of fun. There's a bunch of other stuff, too. Like, I was playing a bunch of Project Zomboid.
Project Zomboid?
Yeah. It's a simulator, basically. I mean, it's like an isometric-based kind of thing.
Okay.
Open-world isometric zombie survival.
That almost sounds like old Fallout.
Kinda. It's the tagline is, "This is how you died."
Oh,
because
great.
You are gonna. But anyway, that's a lot of fun too.
A lot of people have mentioned Helldivers.
It's very it's got a, like, I think it's got 10 difficulty levels that you can sort of swap in between missions, and there's a really high skill ceiling, but you can also play it like at sort of whatever level you want.
You know, I haven't played something new in a while. I've been like, I keep going back to old, and you know, and I do get rewarded occasionally. There are certain games I play like once a year, and I, you know, I have fun going back and doing something that I know how to do backwards and forwards. But like, I haven't played a new game in maybe since Elden Ring. No,
that was the last new one I played.
I played straight through Tears of the Kingdom. Just fucking devoured that fucking thing because I just wanted more Elden Ring. So I probably will enjoy the DLC, I guess, judging by the fact that I forgot that I even played Tears of the Kingdom. I don't know if a month is fast, but I just handled that thing in a couple weeks.
Did you beat that asshole, Moog.
Who?
Moog.
I defeated Moog in two different places.
Good. Okay, then you're ready.
Yes, I sure spent a you lot of time.
The boss with the tiny horse.
No, that's Radon.
What's the horse's name? Asshole.
Oh, God. I want to call him Bone Pony, but that's not his name.
That's not his name. He has a name.
Yeah.
It's like Raymond or Hector.
Oh, yeah. It's a great name.
Yeah, whatever.
Leonard.
Leonard, yes.
Leonard.
What do you think? What's up with the horse that the main character rides around on? What's the deal?
Is Torrent?
Is it, is it like, who's the dude in the cocoon? Is it Cocoon Dude's horse? Or is it America's horse?
Oh, that's interesting. I think it's...
The horse belongs to someone else. Or Melina?
Yeah, I think it's
Melina. Not the one that's the goddess of rot. There's two characters in the game. One's named Melina and one's named Melina. And I don't even know if that's just two pronunciations of the same spelling. But it's the one who's not. So, it's the glow-eyed queen's horse.
Yeah, Melina, as opposed to. God, what's her waterfowl?
That's Melina.
That's Melania.
Melania.
That's Melina and Melania.
It was one of Trump's wives.
The queen of rot.
It's of rot.
Yeah, I think Torrent. Torrent definitely hangs out with Melina, but it's not really clear what his deal is to me.
There's some talk of his previous owners, like this steed's previous, or something like that.
Yeah.
Something about its previous owner. Maybe its previous owner also owned the bell that you can call spirits with, or something like that. There is something, though. There is something about a previous owner.
They're the ultimate friendship.
The ultimate breadstick?
Sorry, TV.
Oh, he had a former master who also gave Ronnie the Witch the spirit calling bell.
Right, okay.
The identity of this individual is not currently known. Yeah, so...
Okay, yeah. That's what I'm asking.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was... Face McDude. What is
his name? Face McCocoon Dude?
Yeah.
I think it's Cocoon Dude. The goddess of sleep or something, Trina. He was also Trina. Is it Trina?
Mikola. Mikola's in the cocoon.
Yeah.
With his long arm, his red right hand.
They think that Mikola was also Trina, the goddess of sleep. It might not be Trina.
Tree nut,
yes.
Yeah.
I really like the scene with Wally. He's not Michael Cera's. That's it for him in this show. That's my favorite cameo.
There you go.
I love this scene.
It makes me want to crawl inside of my belly button and vanish.
Because it's like cringy and embarrassing.
Yes.
Oh, I guess that's part of what I like.
Right.
I just love the things he's saying.
I'm like cringe and tolerant, like lactose intolerant.
Oh, you have when things are really intentionally cringy.
Really cringy, really, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's like I see the cringe within me reflected in that, and I cannot bear it.
Oh, when you look inside of yourself and
see the thing outside.
Truly look into the cringe and allow it to look back into you, then you will see the world with fresh eyes. The scene
he
with Wally still makes sense.
The cringe not also gaze into him.
Yeah.
Except, lets go of the cringe
right.
of being a man beast. Or how does it go?
He who gets rid of the cringe of being a man. I don't even know how the actual thing goes now. He who makes a beast of himself gets rid of the cringe.
Cringe of being a man.
He who makes a cringe of himself gets rid of the cringe of being a man.
I shaped my body into a cringe to open the lock of my I own a basement. Hey, Preeka, thank you for rescuing us.
Oh, my gentleman, where are you going?
Ted,
it's raining out there. It's raining. You don't go away. You gonna go away in the rain? The window's open. It's so cool.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's like springtime. What time of year is it? Or what season? What did? Wow! I was trying to ask what month.
It's about 10 p.m. It's about 10 p.m. of April.
Okay. Yeah, it is about that time. That's great. I feel pretty good about what time of year it is, and
yeah, man.
And a lot of stuff that's going on, as a matter of fact. Yeah, you guys too feel good about
it? My trees are almost fully bloomed.
Cool.
This time is full of promise.
Yeah.
I got
the earth reawakens, Paprika. That lady, Persephone, comes out of James Woods' house.
Big fan of Persephone. I like when she comes back.
I'm into her shit. I'm into eating three pomegranate seeds.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
They're not digestible.
Is it? Did she eat six of them? Is she down there for six months? Because she ate six?
I think she ate six. Okay. She's down there for 6 months.
Yeah. I eat three. I'll stay in hell for 3 months.
Right.
That's enough for me.
Niflheim. 3 months of Niflheim. 9 months of Nippletime. Sun's out, buns out. My plants are all excited about this.
Oh, my plants cannot wait to go outside. My bliss plant is fucking going crazy.
Yeah, my rubber trees have started popping off new shoots and stuff.
I
need to get out there.
I had some rubber trees one time, and I left them out after the frost point, and they collapsed immediately.
Yeah, they don't like
that.
They
could not stand having a frost. Rico, what is it? Do you need treats? Do you want to watch TV? What's going on?
Preka's a Star Trek dude.
He likes to watch Star Trek, yeah.
Yeah. Does he have a favorite series?
I'm not sure. I think it's probably TNG.
Yeah.
He's definitely seen the most of TNG, and it might just be because...
He seems like a guy of taste.
Yeah.
But he likes to is Spock throwing his mind into McCoy like an incredible violation?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't even believe it.
Yeah. All right. Cool. It seems to me like basically like mental violation, assault, like really bad thing to do to a person.
And that's like the last dude that would ever want Spock to do this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There are people out there who would be like, oh, yeah, like Boimler would be like, fucking Spock me, dude.
Yeah.
If he could get his hands on Boimler.
If McCoy was asked, he absolutely would not have let Spock do it.
No.
And it fucks him up. It turns out that the TOS movies are on Max. So at some point when we get there, I'll be buying a month of Max. That'll be around the time the Dragon Show comes out. It'll work out.
Those
but
old
like
scientists.
Yeah, but I guess I gotta rewatch too, because like we talked about, I kind of thought that that it was Kirk that got the Spock memories. But yeah, now that I want to watch the Search for Spock again. It is bonkers. Just that alone being the premise.
Seen any of them.
Yeah.
Except I think I've seen most of the whales one.
Yeah, that's the one. That's once they all get back together and they get Bones' mind sorted out and they get adult Spock back and he's not a baby anymore. Boy, the third one is weird.
They decant Spock out of DeForest Kelly's head.
Seriously not seen the third one in 25 years now. Like I was probably more than that. I was probably 10 or 11. Like
Spock
at my grandparents'
like,
house.
See you again in 25 years.
Man. I gotta watch The Search for Spock. It's so weird.
The Search for Coop.
And for a long time, I kind of... One of the main reasons I have not seen that movie is because I kind of fell into that... The Odd Ones are not as good.
Yeah.
So, I did not watch The Odd Ones, and I've watched 2 and 4. I think that... I think that's like a dangerous superstition. I think it should be abolished. Mm. I think,
like, looking in mirrors after dark.
Right. We should look at all. That? We should look at all of the Star Trek movies with fresh eyes, the same way we would look in mirrors after dark, before we knew better.
Someone asked me recently if they're like, "How do you feel about mirrors, Dacre, in your house?" And I was like, I just kind of froze. I was like, I don't know if I can. I was like thinking, I was like, I don't know if I can answer this question candidly right now.
There's been a lot of scary talk about mirrors.
So in the end, I was like, well, in high school, I would have considered it to be extremely ill-advised.
Yes.
I haven't had mirrors up since then, so I don't know if they're still as bad.
Raining. You want treats in Star Trek? I made a pot of chili.
Nice.
This one came out pretty good. It's a little bit, it could be a little spicier, but I can, you know, sprinkle some.
I made chili mac myself last night.
Oh.
I don't think I've ever had chili mac. That sounds really good.
I mean, that's, you just told me exactly what I'm doing. When we're done here, because that is exactly what I'm doing. Oh boy, I'm excited too. I got a little bit of shredded cheese for that. Ooh. Oh man, what do you think? What do you think? Maybe somehow in our terrestrial world, the electricity that we're using we've somehow tapped into the energy of a layer right below us, where, you know, Bob and the Black Lodge entities and all that bullshit and the tower exists, and all these junction boxes and places where they're passing in and out of are places where electricity has worn the veil thin.
I think you're onto something there. Think about the arm turns into that lightning tree.
Yes, there's all kinds of electrical shit and strobe lights and zapping. And then
when the, what are they called? The miners? I forget what they're called.
Those are the woodsmen.
The woodsmen.
Yes.
Aren't there a bunch of high tension power lines around that time period? In that not time period, but that part of the show? Or is that when the grasshopper thing?
There are
nuke stuff there.
There is one particular episode with woodsmen and nukes and grasshopper frogs.
I can't remember if there was electricity stuff there.
I recall high tension wires. There's like a shot, which we may have already seen, of like him and Diane maybe driving into another world at the end of the show. That definitely has high tension wires. And I feel like I feel like we have seen high tension wires, and I feel like we've seen that highway they end up on. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But I think we have already seen it. I definitely
think you're onto something with the electricity.
There was, I think when we were talking about the cigarette lighter is when I started looking at, and even the thing that he passes out of the room with the claw-faced woman, it is like a two-pronged electrical thing he slides through. You know? There's a lot of electrical and zapping. But yeah, I think I was thinking about the noise that the cigarette lighter in his car was making.
There's a Tesla, Nikola Tesla, the actual Tesla.
Yeah.
Quote, that's like, "My brain is only a receiver in the universe. There is a core from which we obtain knowledge, strength, and inspiration. And I have not penetrated its secrets, but I know that it exists." It's something like that.
Michael Jackson said something like that. Often, some musical artists will say something like, "I am only a conduit."
Sure.
The music's out there. I just bring it into our reality.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like creativity, that feels very true.
I'm editing, so I don't even know. Me in the past might be about to mention this, but I felt like, just in case, I better cut in and say that what we're talking about is the Song of the Turtle. We're going to end up tying this whole thing back to the Dark Tower. Everything, I mean, everything is eventual, right? Okay.
Or truthy.
Hmm.
And I think that the transcendental meditation stuff that David Lynch is super into is of the same sort of Venn diagram and flavor. And so I could totally see there being this overlap between like the TM and the creativity, the individual and collective unconscious in like Jungian depth psychology, and then like this electricity, extra dimensional stuff, and like weaving together, and you'd get something like this show.
Stephen King also said something along those lines. I feel like I'm not positive. It is a David Lynch quote, right? About going down. They both have something about going down to the well or going out to catch the big. They might have both said something about going out to catch the big fish in the deep end.
Pretty sure. I mean, I want to say that it's a Lynch quote, but I think it's because you said that to me. And
so, it's also, there's a book. He has a, what's the title of his book?
Catching the Big Fish.
Is that what it is? So, I mean, yeah. So, it's more
catching
likely
the big fish.
It's more likely that it's a Lynch thing. But yeah, that whole thing, the pond where we all go to drink.
I want to read Lacey's story again.
No, I never want to read that one again, like the troop. Yeah, the image of that vast horizonless ocean, was at the bottom or the edge of consciousness or experience. Yeah, it's like he's there after like falling through nightmare void and just going up this ladder into slightly more stable reality where he's flickering and there's this woman with the scarred face. It's just, it's nightmarish.
Really interesting. That's an interesting point.
The way that he's, and they can't speak to each other, they can't communicate, and it's like a fucking nightmare. He's like, and he kind of is slowly moving through different nightmare places.
It's also interesting that there's the woman in red with the like melted face.
Yes, and then there's one without a melted face.
And then there's the melted woman further down.
In room number three.
In room number three.
Yeah.
And it's her mother that's banging.
Right. Yeah. What's up with that? Who's banging on the door of these rooms deep in our collective subconsciousness?
Yeah.
David Lynch is very smart. David Lynch has given us a lot to think about.
He is.
Yeah, I forgot about her mother banging on the door. That's fucking scary. Something happened, and now mother is coming.
I mean, there's a bunch of Red Woman stuff in, like, Thelema, and the, like, Aleister Crowley type stuff. But that doesn't... This Red Woman feels disempowered, and the Red Woman feels very empowered, that stuff. So I don't think there's a... Doesn't seem like there'd be a connection.
That woman with the blue rose a couple weeks ago was wearing a red dress. The one that Kiefer Sutherland.
Yep. Oh yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you. Oh, I was zooming as I went back there.
Yeah, that whole weird dance was code.
Yeah. What the fuck? That's a really good scene. Good job, Lynch.
Oh yeah.
That's so fun. So and like, oh god, I don't think any of this is weird, is just being weird on purpose.
Nope.
Not one, like, that's what I, that's especially that red lady, blue rose dress in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that movie came out in 1993, too.
And that anybody gave him money again? Oh, we want more of that.
Yeah, that one was a big hit. Boy, the Kiefer Sutherland part really as it work? Like, the Kiefer Sutherland part has nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
Yeah, as something, if you're not a fan of Twin Peaks.
Does it only work as a companion to those first two seasons?
I think it's probably extremely upsetting no matter who you are.
Yeah.
So yeah. I guess it's successful.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So good job.
It so does seem like that's you what did what you wanted. Yeah.
And I got what I wanted out of it. So
now I want to watch Lost Highway again.
Boy, I want to play a game of Magic the Gathering against David Lynch.
Oof. I would love to see his magic deck.
Yeah.
I bet it's a blue deck. Fucker.
Yeah, probably. It's got a bunch of Mind Erase and Nightmare Well. Counter spells. Yeah.
Cancel. Womp womp.
Man, oh yeah, and also not just Wally, but Bobby Briggs and Chad. Do you guys like Chad?
Fucking Chad.
I love Bobby Briggs crying. Not to bring up two different things, Bobby Briggs being great and Chad being terrible, but...
Yeah, they're polar.
Yeah. I love Bobby Briggs. I love Bobby Briggs, even though he killed that guy the night before everything began.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's... I guess it is. It must be considered canon. It's so weird that that movie is so tonally different than even... It might not be that tonally different from the show we're watching now, but the movie is just... It could have been an alternate timeline where Bobby killed the guy, because he sure doesn't act like he ever killed the guy.
Right?
I don't know how you would act if you killed a guy and no one ever mentioned it.
Remorseful, I should hope.
He's got a lot of emotions in him when he thinks about Laura, which is all...
It was a hard time.
I don't know. He didn't act like he cared that much about Laura, I don't think. So, is it grief that he's feeling for Laura, or is it remorse over what was happening in his life while this investigation was live?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I mean,
what a complex dude. What a bro is Bobby Briggs, man.
And that's when his dad vanished.
That's like, right. A lot of shit was happening to Bobby Briggs. A lot of
shit happened to Bobby Briggs back then.
Bobby Briggs was always cool.
Yeah. I wonder how long him and Shelly were together.
Long enough to have a kid.
Yep. Well, they were old enough at that point.
It's not like they would have had
to. It's not complicated.
Yeah, it's not. I imagine they raised her together at some point.
Yeah.
You know what? We'll get there. His daughter has like a rival, and I didn't find out until later that not a lot of the Hayward family appears in this show. Donna's father appears in like one scene, but...
Oh shit, he must be ancient.
Yeah, he... Like at
most
least...
Most of the cast.
Like many members of the cast, he died almost immediately after making this.
Yeah, I was... Like, I know the log lady, she went. So did Sheriff Truman, didn't he? Was that right before?
I do not know if either Sheriff Truman...
The one that's not in the show.
He died? I didn't even know that actor was dead.
I could be mistaken.
But, yeah, so that's Mark Frost's father, Donna's father. And... But Donna had a little sister that was in, like, one scene in season one and forgotten about. And that... character is the character that is Bobby Briggs's daughter's like rival.
I'm totally mistaken. Okay. Michael Ontkean is alive and presumably well at the age of 78.
Great for Michael Keane, because he did a good job in the original series.
Yeah.
And this guy is the guy from Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Robert Forster, he died. Yep.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Damn.
Not long after the Jesse Pinkman Breaking Bad.
El Camino? No.
Yeah, I think you're right.
El Camino? Man, yeah, and also Albert. Miguel Ferreira, who is an absolute legend, RoboCop, etc. R.I.P. to him.
Yeah.
I'm glad they got to make this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let me say thank you to both of you for hanging out and talking to me about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's continue to watch and see. There's a bunch of the questions we've asked.
Opportunity to chat with buds.
Yeah, man, good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I really like this.
I love to chat with buds. Yeah. Tomorrow, I should be around in the evening if you want to shoot cultists.
Some dudes.
You want to shoot some dudes? Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
I think so. I'll hit you up. See where you're at.
Let's get in touch in the evening and, I hope you guys, I'm gonna make the,
go have some fucking chili.
I'm gonna boil up the macaroni and cheese and I'm gonna throw it in the chili that I just made this afternoon. And I'm very excited. So, yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you for listening to Maybe We'll Talk, a podcast where I talk to people on the phone. That was Locke and Weebs. Thank you so much to both of them. See you guys soon. This podcast. Yeah, I think this one comes out on Friday. That's what we're doing. I'm going to stop talking about it. This podcast comes out on Fridays. My Star Trek podcast, The Least Ready Room, which is, of course, available wherever you're listening to this one. That one comes out on Mondays, probably. No, let's say it. Friday and Monday. Okay. You can find all kinds of social media links and garbage and bullshit at koyadk.tv. That's where you can get on my Discord to answer our Star Trek question of the week and be involved with that podcast, or maybe talk to me on this one after talking to me on Discord and hanging out with us or whatever, you know, whatever. Yeah, come and say hi if you like. And also check out lakehousesoaps.com and buy some soaps from me so that I can, you know, continue to do all my stupid bullshit. Thank you so much to everybody. Thank you for listening. And what was that? Could you explain photosynthesis? Could you explain photosynthesis? Hey, Flyosity, would you do me a favor and explain photosynthesis one more time?
Green plants make food through a process called photosynthesis. Using energy from the sun, cells in the leaves turn simple materials into energy-rich food. The epidermis is the skin. Beneath the upper epidermis lie the palisade cells, which are the chief food producers. Spongy cells are partly surrounded with pockets of air, which enable the cells to exchange gases with the atmosphere. The stomata are small openings in the lower epidermis under the leaf. Leaf veins carry water and nutrients from the roots. Carbon dioxide enters through the stomata. Chlorophyll, contained in cells of the palisade and spongy layers, helps absorb sunlight and transform light energy into chemical energy. Carbon dioxide combines with water and is photosynthesized into oxygen and sugar. Oxygen escapes through the stomata. The sugar, dissolved in water, is carried throughout the plant, providing energy for growth.